Welcome to the Moms Who Money podcast, where every week we chat about all things related to money, mom life, mindset, and spirituality. I'm your host, Eileen Joy, and I am a money and mindset coach for moms, teaching you how to confidently go from living paycheck to paycheck to making money easy. Money doesn't have to be hard. It is possible to break the chains, and I'm going to show you how. Get ready to join the Moms Who Money. Welcome back to the Moms Who Money podcast. If this is your first time here, welcome. And if this is not your first time here and you're a regular listener, welcome back. Today, I have a special guest. I'm so excited. Michelle Perda. You guys are going to be blown away with her knowledge. So Michelle Perda, she's a married mom of three. She's a marriage coach and the host of the Marriage and Motherhood podcast, which I'm sure you've heard before. And after experiencing a lot of challenges in her relationships, she realized how much of her upbringing impacted who she was in her own relationships and how she had the power to change that for the better. And now she offers private and couples coaching with moms and parents to help them simplify communication so that they can spend less time arguing and more time connecting, and then actually being able to feel like a couple again. She's passionate about helping parents feel seen, heard, and supported in their marriage so they can not only enjoy marriage, no matter what stage of parenthood they're in, but also lead by example to their kids so they can grow up knowing what healthy relationships look like so they can have the same. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much for having me, Eileen.
I'm so excited. I've been really looking forward to this conversation, and I love what you do because communication, first of all, is my favorite thing to talk about, and relationships and money and all these things that all come up and I'm sure come up with your clients. But before we get started, I want to ask you three fun questions to let everyone get to know you a little bit better. And they're all money related, but fun and easy.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So what is something that you've splurged on recently and why?
Oh, splurged on. Oh, geez. This is going to sound maybe strange to a few people, but I recently splurged on some mushroom gummies. They're like adaptogens, not like the drugs kind of mushrooms.
Oh, man.
But no, like ones that will help me handle stress better, focus better, and help with my gut. So yeah, I recently splurged on that. I hope it works. I'm really looking
forward to it. Those are great. Those are great. I also highly recommend the mushroom tea.
Oh, I do that already. Yeah.
Yeah. So good. So
I love the Rise matcha.
All right. So what, I think I know the answer to this. What is something that you're saving for now and why?
Yeah. She's the reason why she said she thinks she knows it's big is because I'm actually moving from California all the way to Georgia. And
yay!
So we're going to be really splurging here and buying a house over there. So yeah, that's pretty much what we're doing. We're getting ready to sell this house and pack things up and make our move over to you, Eileen.
I'm so excited. We're going to be semi-neighbors, about an hour away from each other. We could meet halfway and go hiking.
We totally could, and we should.
Let's do that. I'm like already planning. Okay. So,
I love it.
And what is something that you're grateful for today?
Ooh. I'm grateful for good weather today because I got to go on like an hour long walk before this recording, and I just love it. The fog lifted, the sun came out, and I'm like, oh yes, no more rain for now.
That's the best. All right, so let's get this party started. Tell us about yourself and how did you become a marriage coach?
Yeah, so obviously this is not something I was like at 5 years old saying, I want to become this. It really came about because communication and relationships and self-awareness has always been a challenge for me. And that's truly what I believe to be my biggest transformation as of yet. So I, like many people, did not grow up with parents who modeled healthy relationships to me, right? Communication, like just awful, right? Like my mom does the silent treatment. My dad, when they were still married, likes to just be very reactive. And I didn't see growing up what it looked like to have effective, healthy communication based around love and partnership. It was very like blame culture, right? If someone got upset, someone else was getting blamed. There was no accountability whatsoever. And I didn't really see how partnership worked within a marriage who had kids. So it was very lopsided, right? And I'm sure that a lot of you listeners out there can relate to this, where the mom literally does everything, right? My mom worked, she tended to the house, she tended to the kids. And, I'm not knocking my dad. He did what he did, but it was nowhere near the degree of what my mom did. And I don't blame him because from what he came from, how could he have known unless someone called him out, right? And so that's the model I operated from going into my relationships, except I was a rebel. I was like, there's no way in hell that I'm gonna have that, right? And so instead of replicating what my mom did, I decided to go the complete opposite direction. I'm like, I'm going to over communicate. My partners are going to know how I feel and when I'm not okay with something. But what I didn't learn that I needed was that I needed tact and I needed effective communication skills. And so instead of being silent, I was passive aggressive. I was totally pointing the finger. So I was repeating that cycle, right? And I didn't take any accountability. I had no clarity around what it is that I needed or wanted or felt. I just was like, hey, you pissed me off. You annoyed me. Now you gotta fix it. And we're gonna talk for hours and hours and hours and get nowhere and just give up because it's not going anywhere, right? And so that cycle repeated itself in all my romantic relationships. And it really took me realizing, shit, I'm the common denominator here, right? This is not how I want to experience my relationships. This is not what I want for myself. I want to feel like how those couples feel when I see them. They're like, they look so happy. Why do they look so happy? But like, we argue all the time. Like, what is different about them than us? And so I dove into mindfulness by becoming a yoga teacher. I dove into nonviolent communication to learn how to truly express how I felt, what I needed without triggering someone into going into being defensive or, criticizing me or fighting me off or, just not being receptive of what I needed. And ever since then, I've kind of just dove into more stuff, right? So taking those skills into my marriage helped a lot. But I went into a marriage with a kid already, right? So my husband already had a one-year-old son, and I quickly noticed, wow, this is super different than just being in a relationship with just you, right? There's more at stake, there's less capacity, there's more energy being expended. And I noticed that things started to change as soon as we had our first child together. I had no capacity for bullshit. I had no patience. I was just so done, right? Like my baby didn't sleep well. I had in the beginning breastfeeding issues, right? So we got into so many more arguments, and I was like, what is going on with us right now? This is not who we are. And that's when I realized, oh, marriage is one thing. Marriage already has its set of challenges. But then when you piece it together with parenthood, then you've got a whole, exponentially more challenges that you need to handle. And I was like, I know I'm not alone in this. And I realized after working with a life coach that I need to take care of myself too. It's not just about being a good communicator. I also need to know myself. I also need to take care of myself to be a good partner, to be a good mother. And so I was like, okay, there are people out there who don't have these foundational skills because they're just repeating what they saw growing up, what they see within their circle of friends, and they're normalizing these issues because that's what they see on an everyday basis, and they're excusing it and settling for it. But really, just because you see it everywhere around you doesn't mean that that's how it needs to be. It can be different, right? You can go through conflict with more confidence and calm, and actually leave the conflict feeling stronger as a couple, not feeling like you just went to war and you're feeling depleted and you have to kind of like tiptoe your way back to each other and feel like that really destroyed your relationship. But it can actually build it up, right? And you can take care of yourself, and it's actually not selfish. It's actually going to support your marriage and your journey as a parent even more. So now I really just love working with parents and moms specifically to help them learn those tools and that mindset that they didn't get modeled growing up, that they can challenge what they see, that things can get better, and that they deserve it, right? So that's kind of my journey into how I started doing this almost 6 years ago now. And why I love it so much. I just want people to be happy. I want them to experience their marriage how they envisioned experiencing it, not how they ended up experiencing it. And I want to just bring that back up into their reality.
I feel this so deeply because the environment that I came from too sounds very similar to what you grew up with. All my parents did was fight, and they never actually had an adult conversation that was healthy in any way. And they were always same, same. My mom was taking care of everything. She worked full time. She spun all the plates. And my dad always wanted to be catered to, and he was expected to be served everything and expected everything to be done. Bring me my slippers, that kind of thing. And my mom was like, F you. Like, I'm exhausted. Like, can you help me wash a dish? You know, something. And it would always turn into these ridiculous fights. And it was so unhealthy and bad. And so my sister and I grew up in this environment, not really understanding what healthy communication is. And then we both ended up in relationships with unhealthy communication. And we're both divorced. Go figure. Right. And when you don't realize a pattern that you're in, that you constantly repeat because you're just stuck in it. Right. And then you finally get out of it. And then you realize, oh, that's not normal. Right. I don't have to feel attacked all the time. I don't have to feel uncomfortable bringing up something that feels uncomfortable to me. Oh, I actually can feel safe in a conversation and with my feelings. Oh, that can happen. Oh, it is okay to tell someone what I want and they'll actually care about that. You know, and it's like these things that you grow up with that you don't realize that can be normal, but it's all up to you to make that happen, right? And I love what you do because that's really what it is, right? It's knowing, well, what do you want out of the relationship that you're in and how do you come together to make that happen, right? So I feel like that would be like one of the major things that people come to you about, right? Of just how do I communicate with my spouse without it turning into a fight or without it turning into the silent treatment or whatever the circumstances, right?
Yeah, 1000%. People definitely come to me when they have communication troubles in their marriage because, I mean, that's like the number one thing that you're doing all the time with your spouse. And then you're going to end up feeling resentful. And that's the number one connection killer. Like at the end of the day, we want to be able to communicate so that we can feel connected. But when communication is the breakdown and it feels so hard that you start to decide, it's not worth it. I don't even want to bother. And then you have these unmet needs that are uncommunicated. Things just start to fall apart over time. And you get to that point where you look back and you're like, how did we get to this place? It's because of those small decisions where you weren't like, oh, how do we get through this together? Instead, you're like, why are you like this? Right? You're like looking at your partner as your enemy rather than your teammate and noticing, oh, we aren't able to resolve this on our own. Let's get help. Right? Instead, you're like, well, it is what it is. This is just how marriage is. Marriage is hard. That is like my biggest pet peeve when people say, yeah, marriage is hard. Like it's a blanket statement, right? Like when they say, oh, yeah, motherhood is hard. Motherhood has hard moments, but it's not hard 24/7, right? And when you know strategies on how to handle your kids, how to navigate different issues, how to be more aware of yourself and how you're reacting, motherhood doesn't feel as hard, right? Same thing for a marriage. When you know how to communicate, when you know how to set boundaries, when you know how to be more in tune with your spouse and how they're feeling and how they're responding and navigate through those like nuances of communication, it doesn't feel as hard.
Yeah, I find that things feel hard when you have these expectations set for yourself or for a situation that are impossible. And then you're constantly feeling disappointed. And that's what starts the chain. And it could be with your kids, it could be with friends, it could be with family, it could be with your spouse, it could be with anyone. That's just relationships in general. And I know because I used to do that. I would have these high expectations that no one could ever touch, and that I was constantly disappointed and upset that why can't they do that? Why can't they? I don't understand. You know what's the big deal? And once you finally realize that a relationship is like a dance, right? And it's not just you dancing by yourself and telling everyone else what to do. It's like it's so amazing what can happen. And like even just for myself after my own divorce of realizing what the relationship was like with my mom and then going into a marriage with a very similar type of relationship, the same type of pattern with someone that wants to just tell you what to do and control you, and you can't think for yourself, and what you want doesn't matter. And then you finally are out of that. And then all of a sudden, you have people in your life where they actually do care, and you're like, wait, what? You do? Why? It's very surreal. And then also, like the relationship with your kids, like for me personally, like when I became a mom, my mantra was, what would my mom do? And then I would do the opposite. And I love being a mom. And I absolutely just enjoy, even when it's hard, because I know I'm a great mom. And I know I have a great relationship with my son. And I know that we understand each other and are able to communicate with each other in a way where it's respectful and we get each other. And yeah, sometimes we get angry and we yell and things happen, but that's normal, right? Those are human emotions. And we both understand that our feelings matter. And if we're feeling upset, that's okay. If we're feeling angry, that's okay. If we're happy, great. And it's like we honor our feelings. And when you're not doing that with your partner or your relationships, that's when all the resentment starts, right? And I've noticed too a lot with my clients that come to me that do have partners where they're really deathly afraid to talk to them about money. And they say 9 times out of 10, oh, we don't talk about money. And it's funny because, like, one of the major statistics, the very high statistic for divorce is the reason is because of money. But it's really not about the money. It's about the communication about the money and having those conversations where you feel like you're going to die because you're so afraid, right? That terror just comes through your body and you just shut down because you're so afraid to talk about it. And the more you don't talk about it, the worse it gets, and then becomes the problems. And so I love what you do, where you really help the communication process. And it's not just about communicating. There are so many other layers to it to get to the communicating, right? To get to that healthy communicating and the wanting to actually talk about it, and then the enjoyment of it, and then being able to come together. And it's so interesting how many women have come to me wanting to get a divorce because of money. And then, because once we work through it and we get through it, and they realize, oh, it's not the money. It's amazing how many people stayed married, but it's unreal. And it's like, I love what you do because it's so important. I really feel like just marriage in general, like it doesn't come with a manual, right? Like our kids don't come with one either, right? And all marriages have conflict, right? And it's up to us to be able to handle the conflict differently within our own relationship. So if someone comes to you and they're like, I just can't talk to my spouse, I just can't. What tip, I guess, would you give them, or how would you start the conversation with them to come up with like something painless that they can go where they don't feel like they're gonna die?
Yeah, so that feeling that they're getting, it's because They are, let's call it like communication trauma, right? They're like really trying to avoid feeling a certain type of way because they
Yes.
feel like they're going to die, right? That is their brain trying to save them and protect them, okay? But this part of our brain is very primitive, very, very primitive. It is the oldest part of our brain that never quite evolved past the caveman days, okay? This is our fight or flight system. So it doesn't delineate it from a bear chasing you, from having a difficult conversation. It literally thinks it's the same thing. Okay. So first, understanding what is going on inside of your body and understanding, okay, well, what about this is triggering to me? Right. So much of communication is actually the preparation of communication that a lot of people skip. They kind of just go straight into talking, and that's where it gets themselves into trouble. Okay. I definitely did that. And on my worst days, I still do that, right? I'm very like naturally reactive. If you follow astrology, I am an Aries. I have a lot of fire. I also have two water signs for my moon and my rising. So I feel very deeply. I'm a very emotional person. And when you mix that with the Aries, I can spit some massive fire when I am not feeling my best. So the biggest thing is to really understand and get clarity on how do you feel? Why do you feel that way? What's coming up for you? What about the situation is triggering you? Does it remind you of something, right? What is it that you need out of this situation that would have had it gone differently, right? How do you respond differently? Not go into all like sorts of high intense emotions, but rather like, oh yeah, okay, like any normal day. What would have needed to happen for you to feel that way instead of how you feel now? And then on the flip side, what might be going on for your partner, right? We have to assume in a healthy, safe partnership, we have to assume that they do things for a good reason, just like we do things for a good reason. They are not out there just trying to mess with you, trying to actively piss you off and make your life a living hell. That is just not what's going on. Okay. So if we just believe that, we believe that our partner is a decent human being that loves us and wants the best for our marriage, but maybe is misguided about their approach. Or maybe we're misguided and we don't understand where they're coming from. And we're solely focused on how we feel, what we want, and how it didn't turn out that way. Kind of like what you were talking about earlier, right? With the unmet expectations. Expectations are very dangerous in all relationships because we are comparing them to how we would react, but we are not them and they are not us. We cannot do that. And thankfully, right? Like, we don't want to be married to ourselves.
Oh,
That would be
God, no.
awful, right? That would be awful. But when we work off of that truth that they had a good reason for what they did, then we can become curious about, huh, I wonder why they chose to do that. Were they missing information? Did they have different priorities that they were thinking of? Like, are they working off of their own past experiences where maybe they were trying to protect themselves? There are so many different things to consider that we don't know. And when we make assumptions without checking, like fact checking with the source, that's another slippery slope to go down because then we're like, oh, well, they did that because they think their time is worth more than mine. And da, 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 da. Maybe not, right? Who knows? And so, a lot of the time that you should be spending instead of rushing into the conversation is actually getting right with yourself and understanding instead of just jumping right in, feeling full anger, right? Instead, just sitting with your anger and like, okay, I feel angry right now. Well, why do I feel angry? And really do that like root cause analysis on yourself. Because when you do that and you can go into the conversation feeling like, okay, I've moved through my emotions, things have settled. Maybe you're still mad, that's okay. But once things have settled and you understand with full clarity, This is how I feel. This is why I reacted this way because of this, and take accountability for what part you played in the situation. The time spent in the conversation is going to be listening, curiosity, compassion, understanding, rather than having him communicate with you while you're trying to process how you feel. You're listening to things and you're kind of just like, our brains are really good at this, okay? It'll be like, oh, this one piece of thing that he said actually supports what we believe, right? And if you're really angry, it's going to be like, oh, see? Yeah, see? That's why, right? And it's going to support you to a fault. But when we take time to sit with our emotions, feel them, understand them, we can actually have more capacity to fully listen to what they're saying. Have you ever talked to someone where you know they're not really listening to you? They're trying to pick apart what you're saying to support what they're going to say. So it's like they're getting ready to fire back, but they're not actually listening to you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's what you're doing when you don't prepare, when you don't spend time to reflect.
Yeah, and
So,
when
of
you're
course,
not
the
listening.
conversation is going to be messy. It's not
Yeah.
going to be productive. It's not going to be successful. So, I would say this is the number one like downfall that people have that they can help.
Yeah, it's really coming together and learning how to listen before you speak, or maybe not even speak. Right. And like I know just it for personal experience and then just through the lives of the moms that I've worked with and things that they've brought to me in relationships, every relationship is so different, right? And so it's like you want to bring something to the relationship, right? And you don't want it to be like the fire, right? Coming, like you don't want to be the dragon breathing the fire at the other person because that's just completely counterproductive. And so one of the things that like I learned for myself after my divorce, and I went on this really huge healing journey, which I think I'll probably be on for the rest of my life. And I think it's important to be on that for the rest of your life. And it's just really understanding yourself better, which also helps you in your own relationships. But it's understanding what you were saying before of like, how do you feel when you're feeling, when you're in this conversation and it's not going well, right? Like, what are the feelings that are coming up? And I noticed for myself when I started doing the work and just really the awareness piece of, well, how am I feeling when I have these conversations that I feel like what I coin them as difficult conversations, right? And everyone's difficult conversation is different, right? And so my version of a difficult conversation, I literally like my heart would start racing. I would sweat in places I don't want to mention. I would get really uncomfortable. And like sometimes I would feel like just so hot, my face would turn red. I feel like it would pass out. I would get so, just so scared. And then when I really noticed, I'm like, well, why is this happening? Why do I feel this way? This is not okay. You know? And it all goes back to like the whole inner child that like when I was little, of I never felt safe. I never felt safe in a conversation. I never felt safe expressing my feelings.
Yeah,
Right. It
and a
never
lot of
felt
us
okay.
do. A lot
Yeah.
of us have experienced that, right? Like back then, it was like kids are to be seen but not heard,
Exactly.
right? And our
Yeah.
emotions, because our parents did not grow up having their emotions validated or even valued,
Ever.
then
Yeah.
we didn't get that from them. And now we're the
Exactly.
generation who are trying to change that because, hello, trauma,
Desperately.
right?
Yes.
Repressed emotions. It has come out in ways that are not healthy in our relationships, and we're trying to figure out ourselves while also putting it into practice, while also holding space for our kids. It's exhausting.
Exhausting.
I'm not going to say it's not, okay?
Yeah.
But I will say that it is the most worthwhile work that you can do for yourself and future generations,
I
okay? Because
totally agree.
your relationship defines how well your all like all your other relationships will be. Period. Full stop. If you do not understand yourself, if you do not let yourself experience your emotions, if you don't spend time understanding them, you're going to walk into every single relationship with your spouse, with your kids, with your friends, with coworkers, with strangers, whoever, not fully present for them because you're going to be all up in your stuff, right? And I love how you described your experience when a difficult conversation is going down. All your bodily symptoms, that's actually how your emotions speak to you. And instead of just like, oh, I'm angry, and just allowing those behaviors to come out, our coping mechanisms, whether it's yelling, getting passive aggressive, rolling your eyes, like whatever things that you have picked up along the way, slowing down is actually what's going to help the conversation speed up. It's the pushing nature, the forcing nature that we've been taught to do with our like uncomfortable, inconvenient emotions. I will say, like, that's how we were taught to view them, right? Things that we need to shove down, hide away, don't express, don't show. When we do that, that actually makes a way bigger mess than if we're like, oh shoot, okay, I'm feeling my heart race. I'm feeling like I'm getting really hot. I'm feeling my fists are starting to clench, my eyebrows are furrowing, like I feel like my arms are about to cross, and I just feel really rigid. Those emotions are coming out through your body, telling you, hey, something is up here. We need a break. We need support. Whether you give it to yourself or you ask your partner for it, if you don't know that's going on, then your brain's gonna kick on and be like, okay, you're not listening. Let's now breathe fire, right? Right. Middle fingers up, right?
Yeah,
Everything.
totally.
Okay. But when you slow down and understand, oh, my body's trying to communicate with me that something's coming up here. Something from the past is starting to slip through into my present, and I need to address this. Then you're going to keep encountering this cycle, right? And I've heard so many times where couples come to me, oh yeah, we keep fighting about the same thing. It's like just clockwork, and we deal with it the same way. And they come confused about why it's not going to work out better, right? Like,
The
because you're
definition of insanity.
exactly,
Right.
you're not changing anything,
Right.
right? It's become this choreography that you two develop to dance, and you're just sticking to it. That's when you need to go get help. You need to come to me and say, okay, we're stuck right now. Okay. We can all get like that. It's fine. Let someone come in and say, okay, this is where you're getting stuck. This is what you can do instead. And it could just be baby steps, right? That's all it needs. It's kind of like how, you know how like an avalanche starts, right? It just starts out small and all of a sudden it's like boom, massive change. Or like a domino effect, right? You just push down one tile, and if everything's in place, it's all going to go down. It's going to be successful. But it takes those little actions. Those little moments of working on yourself, reflecting, understanding yourself, having healthy communication, listening, exercising compassion, and not taking things personally, and really being in it together. That's what turns conflict into connection. But if you're going to keep approaching your difficult conversations the same way you've always been, okay, you're going to get the same result. Like, sorry, not sorry. That's what's going to happen every single time. Now, is it difficult to change it? Hell yeah, it is. Why? Because you've been doing the same thing over and over and over again. You're honing in on the wrong skill, right? The skill that you're honing in on and getting better at is having awful conversations. So let's take a break, practice something new, and watch it unfold, watch it change. Even if you're the only one that's initiating this change, right? It only takes one person. What happens when two people are dancing and someone introduces a new step? It's already a new dance because your person, your dance partner, is going to be responding to you. Oh, she took a sidestep instead of a step back. Okay, I guess we're going this way, right? You can influence your communication in the relationship just by starting the work on your own.
I love that because that's what I had to do, especially now with co-parenting and walking
Oh,
on
that's another
eggshells,
one.
which is
Yeah.
a whole separate type of
I
communication,
understand. I've been
right?
co-parenting for what, 13 years
I know
now.
you do. And so it's just another layer of
Yes.
communication and a whole different way of thinking of, well, we used to be like this and that got us divorced. So
Yep.
I know he's not changing. So what can I do to make this relationship work now that we're not in the same household, but we still have to communicate daily and we have a son and he's the one that's going to be affected by all of it. And it really took so much work on my part. And at first it was so hard because everything was so ugly at first. And so now I can thankfully say things are better. They're not amazing at all, but it's like night and day from when we first got divorced. And now I know triggers, right? I know when he's trying to trigger me and he's and how he wants me to respond. And I'm like, you know what? I'm getting off the dance floor. I don't need to be on this floor for this, right? I know when to get on the dance floor and when to remove myself, right? And how to do the dance, like how if we're sidestepping, okay, we're good right now. This is cool, right? And and I did that, right? I know that I am the big part in that. And he's kind of following along blindly, not even realizing that I'm leading this.
That's right.
And,
that's
you know, and it's important to do that. If you know that you're in a relationship, whether you're living with the person or not, it's important to take those steps for yourself, right? First, we go inward and check ourselves before I wreck ourselves, right?
That's right.
Right.
Basically.
And then we can, right? You know, because it's all about knowing ourselves and how we respond to these things. And I know that for myself, that was huge because at first I didn't even know it was a thing, mm-hmm. right? Until it was presented to me when I was removed from it. And then I was like, wait a minute, something's wrong. I'm not being yelled at. I'm not being screamed at. I'm not being told what, you know, what to think, what to do, how to act, how to be. And I was like, oh, this is so weird. I could think for myself. And that's what started the whole journey. But like, even for my son too, like he's very emotional, like me, very, very empathetic and highly sensitive people. And it's so fascinating how similar we are. And so we get each other. And he always tells me, Mommy, you really care about me. You get me. And I really appreciate that. You know, like he has so much rage that like when he gets angry, he gets very like he just like wants to throw things and stuff. I actually have this here because we use it all the time. I don't know if you've ever seen this. It's called the Damn It Doll.
No, I've never seen that.
To just whack the crap out of it when you're angry. And it says, Damn It Doll, whenever things don't go so well and you want to hit the wall and yell, here's a little Damn It Doll that you can't do without. Just grasp it firmly by the legs and find a place to slam it. And as you whack the stuffing out, yell, damn it, damn it, damn it. And it's like this, and it's, we have whacked the crap out of this thing and it looks like it's brand new. You know, when you're angry, let it out, right? And when we're growing up, when we were little, I know for myself personally, if I was angry and I would slam my door, my father took my door off the hinges so many times, like really? And so now when my son's mad, I give him this. And I'm like, you know what, dude, let it out. Feel it.
Yes.
Right?
Anger is not an unhealthy emotion.
No.
Right? We've just been conditioned to believe it to be wrong.
Totally.
But anger is just as healthy as happiness and joy. Right?
Yeah.
As is sadness. It's just our bodies trying to communicate with us.
Yeah.
The difference is, are you expressing it in a healthy, acceptable way? That is different, right? So
agreed.
I love the idea of the Damn It Doll. Like with anger, you could scream into a pillow.
Yes,
you can go stomp off. As long as you are not hurting other people or things,
yes,
fine. Right? Like keep it to yourself or share it with someone. Talk about it. Like talk it through, right? Whatever it is, you can, I don't know, there's rage rooms. You can go play stuff. Like that's totally
fine. Here.
Right? Go running or do breath work, meditate, whatever your jam is, right? As long as you are not negatively impacting anyone else, who cares?
Exactly.
Because if you don't, you're essentially becoming like the volcano that is about to erupt. You can only handle so much and it's going to come out as like ailments or, you know, whatever. You don't want to do that to yourself. And yeah, this might sound like, oh, that's really uncomfortable. I'm just not used to that. I get that. Okay. And the more you allow yourself to feel and express your emotions, no matter how comfortable or uncomfortable they are, the more light you feel, the easier it gets. It's kind of like one of those things where it's like, well, you'll know once you know. Like, there is no way, other way of describing it. It just is very freeing once you feel like, oh, I don't have to judge my emotions. They are valid, and it's okay for me to feel a certain way. And I can learn my way of dealing with it, and that's okay. But when we repress them and stuff them down, that's when those, I'm going to quote, you know, uglier parts of us come out in those behaviors, because we haven't been listening to ourselves and we haven't been true to ourselves, and we put it on other people, which is not fair.
No, it's not fair. And we don't know we're doing it. Now that you can't unhear this, right? We really need to pay attention to your feelings, and especially before you have some type of difficult conversation with someone, before you even speak a word, just feel yourself. What's going on?
Yeah. Right? Even if it feels like they deserve your wrath, because I totally get that.
Oh yeah, totally.
It doesn't matter, right? Because you're not going to feel good about yourself, and what you're doing is not going to help. You can still be taken seriously without going off the rails and losing your shit on someone or reaming someone. Okay. Mm-hmm. In fact, by reaming someone, you're going to send them into their fight or flight, and then they're going to behave in ways that they're not so proud of. And you're but going to basically be going back and forth like a ping pong match.
Yep.
Trying to level, like one up them, because you're just turning into a competition instead of a collaboration of like, okay, here's where I'm at. This is what I need. This is where you're at. This is what you need. Okay. How can we get creative about how we're going to resolve this together? Mm-hmm. Right. So if you want to be able to feel proud of how you show up, mind your side of the grass.
You are so awesome. I know we are at time. So I just want to ask, is there anything else that you want to bring up, talk about that we haven't touched that you feel would be important?
Actually, I have two things that I want to share.
Okay, great.
If you love this episode and you're like, okay, this feels very daunting, I have a free guide that will help walk you through it. It's got those questions that I mentioned for you to fill out anytime you get into one of those tiffs with your spouse. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm just so emotional. I'm so full of rage. And I don't want to go into the conversation feeling this way, because I know it's not going to turn out well. Check this workbook out. Okay. It's how to handle conflict with confidence. Okay.
Yes.
So I'll share the link with Eileen so she could share it with you all, but.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you so, so much for being here today. I want you to let everyone know, what's the best way to connect with you? And if they want to work further with you, where should they go?
Yeah. So I have my own podcast. So you're listening to this. So you are, you know, you love listening to podcasts. So go check out my podcast. It's called Marriage and Motherhood. I actually have an episode with Eileen, so you should go listen to that. And two other places I love to hang out are in my Facebook group, also called Marriage and Motherhood, and on Instagram under Michelle Perda Coaching. So come join me. Talk to me, befriend me. I love getting to know people and how I can support you. And I'm so glad that you made it to the end of this episode. And let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Okay. So come chat with me. Let me know what you loved about this episode so we can talk more.
Love it. Thank you everyone for being here today and for joining us and this amazing conversation with Michelle. I can't wait to hear what your takeaways were. So make sure that you take a screenshot of the episode, post it to your socials, and tag both of us and let us know what your takeaways were. And we'll share it in our stories and we'll open the conversation about communicating. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this. Thank you so much. Always remember that you are your own best investment, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard today, please share on your social media and tag me at Eileen Joy Money Coach so I can see which episodes you're loving. The only way this podcast grows is by you sharing it. Please rate, review, and subscribe down below. See you next week.